A lesson in economics. What did we learn from the Fed's stimulus program?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Federal Reserve Program to help the economy, known as quantitative easing, ends today. Quantitative because it involves a vast quantity of money, $600 billion. Did the program ease banks into freeing up more of their money? Peter Cohen has an economic consulting firm in New York, and he's with us now to explain it all. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Steve.
I want you to sort of scramble your brain for a second and imagine that you're talking to somebody on a talk show and not a business program. What do you tell them when they say, what the heck is quantitative easing?
It's giving money to people, including businesses and consumers, and it's coming through the Federal Reserve.
So giving money how, though? Are they just dishing it? Because I didn't get a check.
No, what happened was that the bond investors got a check, which were basically banks. Over the last 7 months or so, the Federal Reserve bought back $600 billion worth of bonds. So they're trading bonds, and in exchange for the bonds that they're buying back, they're putting cash into the hands of those investors who own the bonds. And here's the funny part. The banks turn around and invest that money in government bonds instead of lending it out. That's why it had no effect, because essentially it went from the Fed to the banks and back to the Fed again.
What were the long-term effects?
Well, they tried QE1. That worked a little bit better, actually stabilized the system. QE2 basically did nothing. And maybe in August, when they have their meeting in Jackson Hole, they might decide to come up with some new method for stimulating the economy. But the fact of the matter is that the key issue in this economy is coming up with 13.9 million jobs for all those people who are looking for work. And companies are doing just fine without hiring people. They had record profits in 2010. So basically, we're not solving the problem.
Maybe that refreshing air in Wyoming will inspire the Fed for something different? We don't know.
They probably will announce something in August.
All right, Peter Cohen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Another program, this one from Congress, has a similar aim. Get more banks to lend money to small business by handing over billions of dollars in cheap money to community banks. And as Marketplace's Bob Moon reports, some experts want to know why bailed out banks are lining up for yet another bailout.
Small businesses keep complaining that stubborn banks are holding back the recovery, making it hard to borrow startup funding or money for inventory or payroll. So lawmakers came up with a plan that sounded straightforward.
Bolster the capital available to community banks so that they can then lend to small businesses.
That seemingly simple plan, outlined by Republican Sam Graves, who chairs the House Small Business Committee, has gotten complicated. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner was on Capitol Hill last week trying to explain why only a third of the $30 billion available has been requested by the banks.
We do not have the capacity, and the program does not give us the ability to force banks to lend.
Critics say the program is flawed. They say the way it's set up is most beneficial to hundreds of small banks already on the hook for money from the big Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP. They can quietly use this money to get out from under the stigma and tough restrictions of the first bailout.
It looks like almost every single one of those TARP banks that could possibly qualify for the program have applied.
NYU Professor Neil Barofsky is the former Special Inspector General for the Troubled Asset Relief Program. He says if the banks repay their TARP debt now through this more favorable government program, taxpayers get the short end of the deal. The banks contend their borrowing costs only go down if they boost their small business lending by at least 10%. But Barofsky points out the supposed incentive is actually retroactive to last year.
For the TARP bank that just naturally increased lending as a result of the economic recovery, for having done nothing other than enjoying the benefits of TARP money and their normal course of business, they're going to get a huge windfall reduction in what they have to pay the government, which is just not good from a taxpayer perspective.
Professor Linus Wilson has studied this issue at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. He says government leaders have special motivation to move banks out of the controversial TARP bailout.
It'll make the numbers of the TARP look a lot better than it really is.
Wilson says they can claim a lot more banks emerged successfully from TARP, even if those troubled banks really just switched to another kind of government aid. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are higher right now. The number of people filing for first-time jobless claims fell slightly last week. It's evidence that the economy isn't generating near enough jobs. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 72 points to close at 12,261.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. And by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at MassMutual.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
Today, Washington State closes its official tourism agency, the only state in the country to do that. But it's hard to ignore the fact that tourism is one of the fastest-growing economic sectors in the world. From station KPLU in Seattle, Vanessa Romo reports.
For years, Washington has linked the image of playful orca whales flopping around the Puget Sound with the perfect family summer vacation. Marcia Massey is executive director of Washington State's tourism office, at least until the end of the day.
Unfortunately, when the legislators are having to make really difficult decisions around things like education and social services, everything was on the table, and tourism was one of those items that was on the table.
Across the country, about half the states are cutting their tourism budgets, but other states are investing millions more into luring new customers.
I hate to say this, but I think it's an opportunity for us in Colorado to pick up market share. If you don't tell your story, people won't show up.
That's Al White of Colorado's tourism office. He says back in 1993, the state pulled its marketing dollars with disastrous results.
Our share of the tourism industry shrunk by one-third in 4 years after not spending anything to market ourselves.
In Seattle, I'm Vanessa Romo for Marketplace.
And finally, the New York Times today did an in-depth expose on home paint and how paint companies are trying to sell more paint in a slumping housing economy. So they're giving colors an added descriptive splash. For example, Valspar now sells one shade of orange it calls Weekend in the Country. Benjamin Moore sells Rendezvous Bay. It's basically turquoise. Even Ace Hardware has gotten into the act with a beige color known as Hey There, or as I like to call it, paint. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
At the Aspen Ideas Festival, experts air their savvy on global issues, but Aspen's a two-sided town.
One for people who are there for pleasure, for relaxation and rest and recreation, for the Aspen Music Festival, the Food and Wine Classic, those sorts of things. And there's another Aspen for people whose labor makes that all possible.
I'm Bob Moon. Dual Aspens, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.